All right, class, I am DM Thompson, and this is Living by the Book. I think Living by the Book is the first year students. And so, welcome to my class. And we're going to get right to it. I think this first class will be an introductory class to kind of give you a gist of where we're going and what's the concept. We will be using the book. You know, my classes always laugh at me. I probably won't be using the book as much. But we will. I do want you to read the book. It's a wonderful book that teaches you about Bible study. It teaches you about seeing the Word in a different way and the different things that the Word of God is meant for and does for you. I, as an instructor, am just here to, I think, further instruct you into the Word of God and what it is and how to actually, and here's the phrase, which is the title of our class, Living by the Book. Now, there is nothing living without life. So when we hear living by something, we got to think about life in something. That something that we're living by must be giving us life, or it must be our life. And it's a great concept to remember. I do not want us to think that the Word of God is just on the paper or just on your iPad or just something that you read or just letters, but it's actually life, and we're going to go through a couple of scriptures to give us a baseline and a foundation for what this class is about to be. The Word of God is so powerful. I mean, even the Bible is written in such a beautiful way. The storyline, the literature in it, the mystery in it, the way things were said, how things connect in different places. You know, there's one part in the Living by the Book, in the actual textbook that we have, that says, you know, sometimes you can see the studying the Word of God as eating shredded wheat. You know what I'm saying? I don't know if you ever ate shredded wheat, but yeah, it's not too pleasant. Or somebody says it can be, you know, strawberries and cream. If you don't like strawberries, what kind of fruit that you like? It could be something that's pleasant to you, depending on your perspective. Now, we've learned the perspective of you need to study the Word of God, right? And I agree with that. But we learned it from a place of duty. We learned it from a place of you got to do it every day. And we just learned it from a place of not realizing that it's a live, living organism. And the Bible, listen to this, is a story about you. The whole Bible tells you who you are, your makeup, the organics of who you are, and how you're supposed to function in this place that we call Earth. And so I'll just start reading in John chapter 1. You can turn there real quick. In John chapter 1, verse 1, I'll read three scriptures in John so we can kind of get a gist of where we're going. But in John chapter 1, verse 1, and I'll do a little reading. It says, in the beginning was the Word. See, it's a capital W on that word. Now, we learned this in school when writing our names. Or, you know, at the beginning of a sentence, you're supposed to have a capital letter. But also, names always begin with a capital letter, right? Always when you're naming something, it could be a name of a product or being a name of a person. But because it's a name, right, it begins with a capital letter. So now, in the beginning was the Word. So now we see it's a capital W. So it's the Word is personifying it. It's making it a person. It's not just saying, oh, it's a word, but now it's saying it right there. It's an indication that the Word of God is a person. Watch this. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So now we see the Word was with God, right? With God, and the Word was God, right? The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Verse 4, in him was life, and the life that was the light of men. And the light shined in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Now, we're going to break all this down and go back and talk about it a little bit more. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. It's talking about John the Baptist. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light. Now, you see, the light is capitalized now. And all men that might believe, all men through him might believe. So him, now it says light, and it says him. It says him is a light, personified. Verse 8 explains that John, he said he was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighted every man that cometh into the world. And the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born, listen, not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Say that with me. But of God. Say this with me. We are born of God. Verse 14 is one of our main scriptures we're going to have this whole semester. And it's basically the foundation for my understanding. If y'all know anything about me, I'm a red word guy. It's not that I'm not anything else in the Bible. I love the entire Bible. I believe the Bible is a story about who we are. But I believe that the red words, just like the red blood that fills your body, that your body could not function without it. It fills the organs and brings oxygen to everywhere else and makes sure that they call it the river of life. They call your blood the river of life. I believe those red words are the same thing for the rest of the Bible. And so you can try to function in the Bible, try to function in what you call the word of God, you know, before you knew it was an actual person, right? Try to function in it, but we don't have the blood or the red words or the blood of Jesus or the red or the words of Jesus flowing through it to give life to those branches. So here's verse 14. And the word, see the capital W, and the word was made flesh. Wow. And you remember now, in the beginning was the word, verse 1, and the word was with God, and the word was God. Here in verse 14 it says, the word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Look at the word dwelt. I hit it. You know, one of the cool things I have is I use an olive tree Bible, and I have a Strong's Concordance. What Strong's Concordance is the original text, and we're going to go through all this history stuff too. The Bible was originally written in Hebrew. The original language of the children of Israel was Aramaic. Then they went to Hebrew. Jesus spoke Aramaic, or Hebrew and Aramaic. So the Bible was written in Hebrew. Then it was translated to Greek. Right? Then from Greek we get Latin, and then from Latin we get English. So there's a lot of translations that it went through. So I have what I call a Strong's Concordance, where I can hit the word on my iPad, or I can look. There's a physical Strong's Concordance too. And it'll give you reference to the word. Like I hit the word dwelt just now, and it gives me the reference to the Greek word. And it's skenoo, S-K-E-N-O-O. And I don't want to get too deep into that. But it means to fix one tabernacle, to have one's tabernacle, to abide, to live, to dwell, to live there. So now it means the word made flesh, and he lived or dwelt among us. He fixed a tabernacle among us and dwelt there. I don't have to go to another scripture and say your body is a temple. We'll talk about that later, right? But here it is. The word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And I want to take that phrase, the glory as the only begotten of the Father. Now, many times we say, yeah, Jesus was the only begotten Son. But in context, and we'll learn this, that we are all only begotten, because there's only one Son, there's only one template, there's only one lifestyle, there's only one characteristic, there's only one being that came from God the Father, and we all have that in us. Yet we picked up so many other ideas from so many other places and so many other words from training in school, or words we heard in our upbringing, or different things of that nature, that is trying to give us a different identity. But right here we see the word was with God, and the word was God, and the word was made flesh and dwelt among us. So now we realize the word of God is not just this ink on the paper, or the, you know, pictures on your iPad, or whatever you want to, you know, swiping or whatever, right? But it's actually a person. So now when we see that the word of God is a person, it flips my mentality on what I'm doing when I'm studying. Am I studying some principles and some words to learn how to do something? Or am I talking to somebody to see who I should be? It changes the whole perspective. It changes my whole, it changed my whole mode for approaching the word of God. Now it becomes a conversation. Now it becomes a thing where I'm really learning who I really am. And this is what living by the book is. Flip over to chapter 5, and verse 39. And I love this. Is red words again. It's Jesus talking. And, you know, he's talking to him, and he says, and one thing I always want to say in this class too, they're trying to lay out a bunch of ground rules. Context. The word C-O-N, I learned Spanish, a very little bit of Spanish. But C-O-N meant with in Spanish. So now when I see, and all those languages, all of our languages come together. But when I see context, it says with text. So you always want to know, you know, sometimes we become biblically selective when we preach or when we hear a message. We take a little piece of it, and then we try to make a message out of it without understanding what comes before that scripture and what comes after. Context is key. You have to know sometimes we're going to talk about this in Living by the Book, which way was the wind blowing, right? What set of people are he talking? Where was he, right? I almost want to use my imagination. What did it feel like? What time of day was it? Because all of those things matter in the context of what's being said at the moment, right? So, but for the sake of teaching and time, we'll go to verse 39, John chapter 5, verse 39. And I love when Jesus is saying this. He says, search the scriptures. So search the script. Search it. Now watch, he says, for in them, and it's only because you think this, and I'm glad. And y'all got to realize something too. While I'm teaching, I'm learning too. So sometimes I'll see something and I might slow down because I'm learning at the same time. Search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. But watch this, and they are they which testify of me. But he goes on to verse 40, and we read verse 39 a lot, but he goes on to verse 40, and he says, and you will not come unto me that you might have life. So are you telling me that I can be in the scriptures, but not to Jesus? He's saying it right now. You're searching the scriptures, but you don't come all the way. You don't come all the way to it being your person, or you being the person, it being your personality, right? These are the things that we're going to talk about in Living by the Book. So I want you to prepare. I want you to read John chapter 5. You just read the whole thing. We're going to be going through the Gospels a lot too. And one more scripture. You can flip over to chapter 6, verse 63. And it really gives context to what the Word of God is. It says, it is the Spirit that quickeneth. Quickeneth doesn't mean fast. It means alive. It says, the flesh profiteth nothing. Now watch this line. The words that I speak unto you, this is Jesus talking, they are spirit. And they are life. So there are no dead words. Understand that. The only time the words are dead is when you're trying to have the words without the life of Christ. You're trying to have the words without living them in your members. Right? And so this is Living by the Book. This is what we're going to talk about this class. I'm excited about it. It's going to be a good year. And we're going to be learning together as we go. So this is Living by the Book.